Hey, Daniel.
What's up, Jeremy?
Assemble the music.
Welcome to the temple.
Hadouken!
It's the ship that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs.
The Temple of Geek.
Well, hello, beautiful.
And now, coming to you from Central Texas, your hosts, Paul Jones and Daniel Slade, with special guest, Jeremy Kelly.
All right, guys, welcome to another episode of Temple of Geek. Returning is myself, Jeremy, and we got Daniel.
Yo.
And Paul.
Yo.
All right. So The Avengers is coming out.
Indeed it is.
I think we need to talk about that at great length some more. Let's start off with kind of where we came from. Iron Man 1. What'd you guys think? Was it good?
Yes.
Iron Man 1 was a fantastic movie.
Yeah, I think so. I really liked that Robert Downey Jr. was able to kind of reestablish himself as an actor that can make good movies.
And, you know, and going with that, because I agree with that, I think that was the role that Robert Downey Jr. was made to do. I mean,
you know, I don't think I knew how to put it that way. That is exactly how I would have put it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it just, like, the way Tony Stark's persona is, you know, just being this, you know, egotistical, you know, philanthropist or whatever, and, you know, just putting that on screen and seeing someone that could just actually portray that character, like, how would you say, like, so, like, fluently, you know? It was perfect, and yeah, there was a lot of that movie's success had to do with the casting of Robert Downey Jr.
Now, was Iron Man a good starting point?
I would say.
Yeah, I think so.
Why didn't you think Marvel wanted to start off with a like Thor or Captain America?
Well, wasn't there a stupid '90s movie with Captain America?
Oh yeah.
I think with the success of the reboot from Batman, I think that might have also been a stepping stone for some of these other heroes to kind of, I guess, get their... Well, really not even with Batman. I would say, you know, with Spider-Man also, even though that's not the, you know, the direction that they were going with also. But with the success of the Spider-Man movies and I guess with the Batman reboot, I don't know. I think the... Hello?
I'm here.
Yeah.
Well, because it just completely went dead. Anyway, I think the studios actually started to maybe take a risk because a Hulk movie had just already came out more or less, you know, 3 years before the production of Iron Man, and I think they felt safer if they went with the Iron Man route.
Yeah.
Because you know it's never been portrayed on screen, and the technology as far as CG is there or was there. So I think they just took a risk and they just said, you know what, let's just get Iron Man, let's see how it does, and if it does well, which obviously it did because it spawned a sequel, then we'll continue on our path to what's actually coming out this week, which is The Avengers. So I would say yes, Iron Man was a good starting point.
Should War Machine have appeared officially sooner or later?
I'm kind of glad they introduced him in the second movie. Because the first movie was kind of like, you know, setting up Tony Stark, setting up who the Iron Man was. I mean, if they would have introduced War Machine in that first movie, I think it would have been too much for that first movie.
Agreed.
Yeah, I think so. What about Big Deal? Big Deal or not? The recasting of Rhodey?
I know Paul's not going to like it, but I didn't have a problem with it.
I don't have a problem with the actor or anything. I just have a problem with continuity. Because again, you know, and I've mentioned this before, this is what brought the Batman saga down. When you start changing the actor, you know, again...
The characters didn't bring the Batman saga down. Joel Schumacher and the nipples brought the
Batman saga down. That is true. That is true. But again, it's still changing the actor. And again, you know, if people go back to the casting... The very first person to be cast for Iron Man was Terrence Howard. And I think Robert Downey was maybe the fourth person, because I think in this order, I think it was Terrence Howard, then Gwyneth Paltrow, then what's his name, Bridges, and then I think they. Well, you know what? For us from the media, maybe Robert Downey Jr. was probably the first person cast, but actually maybe released by the media, he was the last person cast. You know, who knows? But based on that information, Robert Downey Jr. was the last person cast. So. If people, and I guess the official statement from Marvel why they recasted him for someone that was a little bit better, more appropriate, or I don't remember the exact wording, but in other words, or in layman's term, they said that Terrence Howard was too much of a demanding on set or whatever, and you know he wanted more money. Here's my thing with that. If you knew this guy was going to be something like, I would say, you know, like whenever you go to a job and interviews, you know, they're always going to do a background check. You know, they're going to see, you know, your attendance. They're going to see, you know, depending on the job you are, whether you're a team player, you know, stuff like that. They're going to do a thorough background check, you know, if you're going to get hired on somewhere. So I would assume that they would do that whenever you're an actor and, you know, especially a big movie like this, you know, if it has the potential to be one and they're going to spawn sequels. Sure, if they're going to do that, you know, they do a background check with that, you know, call his last, you know, director and producer, you know, hey, how was he on set? You know what I'm saying? Like, they'll do a background check too. So if you knew this guy was going to be like that, why the hell did you cast him in the first place? Because it goes back to the Edward Norton thing, because I think Marvel gave almost the exact same statement why they let him go and got Mark Ruffalo instead.
Huh. So, like, a lot of these actors aren't really on board with making comic book movies. They're just wanting a paycheck.
Well, no, I don't think it's more or less the actor. It's just, okay, well, you know, if I was an actor and they say, hey, you know, we're going to do this Iron Man movie, you know, they're going to do a negotiation or whatever. Okay, we'll pay you $10 million now. You know, you will sign you on for two more sequels after this if it's enough for a success or whatever. And then based on that, you know, we can negotiate to get you a higher paycheck. Okay, fine. You know, well, I want $50 million and X amount of percentage or whatever. And then the next movie, I want $30 million, blah, 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 blah. You know, if you don't like the terms, then fine, let me go. Don't sign me on and then say, oh, okay, well, you know what? Based on this, you know, we had a hard time working with you. Let's let you go and get somebody else. You know, I just don't get that. I just don't get, you know, how Hollywood thinks, and or at least Marvel anyway, because it's from Kevin Feige and company. You know, because again, you know, it's almost the exact same route what they did with Edward Norton, you know, letting him go. And we all know how well that movie did.
It's a shame.
So at the end of the Iron Man movie, if you stayed and watched the credits, you were treated with the first glimpse of the Avengers with Samuel Jackson coming out talking to Tony Stark.
Yes.
What was your initial reaction to that scene?
Excitement. I always like it when they give you a little snippet at the end anyway, like a bonus. It's like, all right, too. Yeah. I mean, that just feeds our primal desire for more.
I mean, we all knew the plan was for an Avengers movie, correct?
I wasn't aware that they were going to be shooting for it, although, you know, internet buzz saying that Samuel Jackson might be making a cameo in the film. I didn't know it was going to be at the end of the credits. I didn't know that was the direction that they were going to be going in. No.
So
it was a pleasant surprise.
So, okay, so that's what I was getting ready to ask. So when Samuel L. Jackson says, you know, I'm here to talk about the Avenger Initiative, that was a shock to y'all?
To me, yes.
Pleasant surprise. Yeah, definitely.
Well, I mean, okay, actually, Daniel, I understand your question a little bit more better. yes, because Samuel Jackson is the director of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Nick Fury being the director of S.H.I.E.L.D., yes, that would actually kind of prelude to an Avenger-type conversation or something, but yeah, I didn't know they were going to be going to a direction of a like an actual Avengers movie. No, I didn't know that.
Okay. So what'd you all think about the using Samuel Jackson as Nick Fury, going the ultimate route, making Nick Fury black?
Well, isn't Samuel Jackson who they based Nick Fury on anyway, off the Ultimate line?
In the Ultimate line, yes, sir.
Yeah, they based it off Samuel Jackson though, right?
Loosely.
Well, then that's perfect. to me.
Well, I guess what I'm asking is, what about, do you think these movies are going the ultimate route, or do you think they're going regular Marvel mainstream route?
No. They're going the ultimate route, because that also, you know, leads into the next movie, which is going to be the Hulk.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say it does lead the ultimate route. And that's fine. I mean, it's continuity, you know. You try to do something fresher, that way you're not muddled up with so much continuity that it strangles you.
Yeah, and I also like how they tie in, you know, even, you know, with the cameos at the end, with maybe some references in the middle of movies. But I like how they tie in all the movies together with those little you know, screen times or whatever. I like how they do that instead of just, hey, you know, this movie, you know, instead of just reading it off of like some, you know, like internet kind of synopsis or whatever. I just like how they tied all the films together, and so that it leads up to this.
Yeah, it gives it a nicer, I don't know if intimate feeling is the right way to put it, but rather than something that's just slapped together, it's like they actually took care to do it.
Yeah.
Now, when they created these movies, do you think they've already had the outline figured out how they were going to do it, what they were going to do?
Yeah, I do.
I think so, too.
Now, how hard do you think that was to get with different directors for every film?
Well, you know, I mean, obviously, like, they didn't have all the directors, you know, set out in stone at the beginning. And, how long did it take for them to get Joss Whedon, or was he automatic? Was he already involved?
I think that was their front runner to direct, and they didn't know whether or not he was going to be apt to join. Is that the word I should use?
Yeah.
But I think that was their number one goal, to get him on board, just some way affiliated with this film. I don't know if it was necessarily director share. Probably that was their hope, and obviously he did. He complied.
Well, I mean, because surely it wasn't in the plans for Jon Favreau to leave and not do Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
Wasn't Jon Favreau attached to the Avengers at one point?
I think so. I think they wanted him to direct it.
I think then it did definitely could have run the risk of being an Iron Man Avengers movie.
Yeah.
What's to say it's not now?
Well, I've read some of the reviews already. You know, it's come out in Europe already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've been reading some of the reviews, and from what I'm hearing, it focuses on the big three, and the Hulk has some pretty good scenes in it.
Yeah, from what I read, that the Hulk is the big scene stealer towards the end, I guess, with that big mashup when they're all there.
You know, I think as worried as we are with how the Hulk is going to appear in the film, from the way that sounds, from the way y'all are putting it, I think that's about what I would hope for. Not too much time, just enough, you know, get some good thrills out of it, and that's it.
Oh, so speaking of Hulk, yeah.
Shortly after Iron Man came out, The Incredible Hulk came out.
Yeah, really happy with that movie. I really liked Edward Norton as the Hulk.
That's my favorite film so far with all these independent Marvel films. Out of the four, I know there's five, but out of the four solo hero movies, that's my favorite movie. The Invincible Hulk. The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, The Incredible Hulk was a really good film. I really enjoyed Edward Norton as the Hulk. I liked the character Abomination. And the one thing I kind of liked about this movie was the little subtle hints towards the Super Soldier program.
Oh, yeah, I really liked that, yeah.
And see, that's what I'm saying. Like they, I like how they reference all this stuff together.
Yeah, they started tying everything together really well. And this movie kind of, for me, gave me the first glimpse of what a Captain America movie would look like when Blonsky was fighting the Hulk.
Yeah.
Exactly what I thought, too.
So, yeah, those little subtle touches that they put in these films, I mean, it ties all the movies together really well, and it just makes me really excited to see the Avengers, to see how it all how it all finally comes together.
Yeah. So can you know how I said that Robert Downey Jr. was, I think was, you know, his casting was, you know, much attributed to the success of Iron Man. Would you guys agree the casting of Edward Norton was a very, like you know, his casting was attributed to the success of this version of the Hulk as opposed to the Ang Lee's?
Yeah.
I would probably say yes.
I never understood the casting of Eric Bana as Bruce Banner. I'd never understood that casting.
I think with that film, they were just trying to get a Hulk movie made because, you know, it was so long from like the Lou Ferrigno, Bill Bixby series and the TV movie Hulks.
Yeah.
But they wanted to get something on screen and, you know, they got, well, whatever, did that disaster.
One of the problems I had with that movie was how they did a lot of the frames, like the arrangement of the film as it was presented to you. It was like they tried to present it like a comic book.
Oh, yes. The Ang Lee version?
Yeah.
Well, you guys got to remember that Ang Lee is he's a storyteller. He's not so much of an action film director. He's a storyteller. So I think he was just trying to help people realize that, hey, this is a comic book. Let me tell it from a comic book's perspective. And that sucked.
It really did. That's why comic books are not like that on film. I feel bad for him.
Yeah, but what I liked about The Incredible Hulk was I liked the homage that they did to Bill Bixby, like that one scene where he's in Brazil and he's watching, I think the series was called Eddie and My Father or something like that. Yeah. So you see Bill Bixby in that, and then they play the minor Incredible Hulk tune when he's walking through Mexico or wherever the hell he was at, and then the cartoon part where he's got the purple stretchy pants or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I like all the references there.
But you forgot Lou Ferrigno.
Oh, yeah, obviously, yeah. And ironically enough, he played another security guard. But, yeah, man, The Incredible Hulk to me was just, it was just incredibly well done. Edward Norton and company, they did a really good job trying to get this movie made and redeem itself from, the disaster of Ang Lee's Hulk, but...
Here's a good question. Do you think they're going to try to do a second Hulk movie? I'm sorry, I guess you'd say a third Hulk movie. Consider Ang Lee the first one, but and do you think they would keep Mark Ruffalo?
I would think if the movie is a success and Mark Ruffalo's character is as good as people are saying that it is, the Hulk or Mark Ruffalo's Hulk is as good as people are saying that it is, then I would think they would have to keep Mark Ruffalo. Unless, of course, they have another falling out like they did with Edward Norton. But then you start running into that problem where you keep having different characters for this, or different actors for the same character in different movies.
See, I think I know what the problem is. These actors, they're getting into this, they're using the method acting, and they're not able to control their anger. And so they have to keep finding new Bruce Banners.
You won't like them when they're angry.
So they have this to get true. New ones.
So the big cameo in Incredible Hulk was Robert Downey Jr.
Was Stark, yes.
Yeah.
Now correct me if I'm wrong, but that cameo takes place after Iron Man 2 when he's already talking to Fury about the Avengers, right?
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. Based, you know, you would assume because Iron Man 1 and Incredible Hulk came out the same year. And then with that cameo with Stark at the end of the Hulk, you would assume that it happened right after Fury talked to Stark about the Avengers Initiative at the end of Iron Man 1. But then you got 2 years later where Iron Man 2 comes out, and then you're seeing the footage there, you know, about the Culver University incident. And then it makes you wonder, well, was Iron Man 2 happening at the same time as Incredible Hulk? So I would think the latter. I think it was Iron Man 2 and the Incredible Hulk were happening then at that time.
This might be nitpicking. I'm wondering if because Stark stopped selling weapons to the military, right?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously he was supplying them with those sound emitters that they used in the Incredible Hulk. So I'm wondering if maybe Incredible Hulk took place maybe maybe before Iron Man 2, like in between the Iron Man movies.
Yeah,
instead of at the same time.
Yeah, but I think he stopped selling weapons itself. But I mean, if I'm sure if the government would say, hey, like, you know, sound emitter, I mean, what really is that going to do? But I mean, I'm sure if and then, you know, if Ross, you know, they're on a you know, a name basis, you know, Stark, you know, in nice suits or whatever. You know, I would assume that he would probably do favors for him. But, yeah, I don't know. It's up in the air. I mean, I guess we might find out.
Well, let's go away from the movies for a minute. In the cartoon series that you talked about last week, Jeremy, doesn't S.H.I.E.L.D. provide, like, the Hulkbusters and stuff for the military?
Yeah, you know, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, S.H.I.E.L.D., yeah. Are we talking the 90s Hulk?
No, I'm talking about the anime series that comes on Disney right now.
The Mightiest Heroes, yeah.
Just getting ready to call it Avengers Assemble.
Well, he does say that.
He does. It would lead you to believe that S.H.I.E.L.D. produces their own weapons. When they usually always get them from Stark. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, I think it might be both ways.
Yeah, because in the anime series, I guess like in the first or second episode, I think it was the first episode, was Iron Man's episode. Iron Man finds out that the military stole his design, or S.H.I.E.L.D. stole his designs.
Yeah, that's right.
And created those suits. So it just leads me to believe that they maybe just took all of Stark's ideas. It's Stark's original idea, but S.H.I.E.L.D. created it for the military.
Well, Fury is kind of always doing his own thing. He plays buddy, trying to get him to do what he wants. But then behind the scenes, he's always going to be doing what he needs to do or what he wants to do to advance S.H.I.E.L.D. So.
Mm-hmm. All right, Iron Man 2 was the next one to come out, and that was a direct sequel to the first Iron Man movie.
Yes. I was kind of disappointed that they went away from the Ten Rings that were kind of shown off, that terrorist group that was shown off in Iron Man 1, because I feel like we were all led to believe that the villain that was going to be coming would be the Mandarin.
Yeah, I mean, and the way they were getting ready to do it, I mean, you know, they were taking out the mystical Ten Rings and actually just, it was a Ten Ring organization. I wanted to see how they were going to go with that. But they went with Whiplash.
Well, it was a combination. Yeah, exactly.
It was a combination of Whiplash and Dynamo.
Crimson Dynamo, was it?
Yeah. Crimson Dynamo. Which, I mean, I guess that's smart, but also kind of cheap. Because, I mean, then you're able to kind of get different elements of a bad guy, and he's able to kind of build throughout the movie. But then it's also, it's kind of cheap because your villains don't get their own, I don't know, like, not that it needs to be fair to the villains, right? I don't know. There's just, you know, even villains in comics are creations in their own right. And so when you combine them, it kind of cheapens it. I feel like you'd never, if they made a new X-Men movie set in today rather than, say, like X-Men First Class, you wouldn't want to see them combine the villains Apocalypse and Magneto. So, yeah, I felt like that
I
was
I thought they made
cheap.
A movie called Apocalypto.
Yeah, and that was, it was pretty crappy, Daniel.
Pretty. Poor Mel Gibson.
Yeah, but I agree with Jeremy. I think the combination of the two, you know, it's funny that they reference, and I don't know if anybody, I mean, you guys should have, but they reference Whiplash as the from the two fighter jets or whatever. And then I'll say this: I do like the casting choice for the villain. It was poorly written.
I really liked him in there.
Yeah, Mickey Rourke. Yeah, to me, he's like an ultimate. To me, he's like the ultimate, not bad guy, but like the ultimate, I won't even say boss man either. Just like a good.
He's just a good tough guy.
Thug, yeah. You know, it's just that again. That was another role that was well written for him, and I think that was who they had in mind to play that firsthand. But yeah, it was just a crappy role, crappy part.
Yeah.
And this was the movie War Machine was introduced in.
Yes.
Do you think this was a good movie for War Machine to be introduced in?
It fit for how they wrote it. I mean,
no pun intended. Road.
I mean, I thought the scene with him and Justin Hammer was kind of stupid. Like the military wouldn't have their own hardware to just throw in there. Like they would have to call Justin Hammer.
Yeah.
I thought that was stupid.
Now, you know, Justin Hammer, you know, going back to the 10 rings, you know, he did have one of those rings, right?
Are you talking about in the comics or?
No, in the movie. He had one of those rings that the leader of the 10 rings had.
I didn't even pay attention to that.
You know, yeah, he's got one of those rings.
Huh. I did not catch that.
Some brief fanboys to look at tonight. Go back and look at that ring.
Now, something we didn't talk about in when we were talking about the first Iron Man movie and Hulk was Captain America.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
They introduced, or we got a glimpse of his shield in Iron Man 1.
Right.
In Incredible Hulk, there was a deleted scene where the Incredible Hulk goes to the Antarctic to blow his brains out, and in a fit of rage, he unleashes the block of ice that has Captain America. And then in Iron Man 2, we see Captain America's shield again. Why do you think they kept doing this? Do you think they were hinting towards the Captain America movie? You think they wanted to get audiences ready, or?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, because, in The Incredible Hulk, not once. If they would have went that, I kind of wish they would have went with that and just kind of, just instill in everybody's head, hey, Captain America's coming. So not only if they would have kept that scene as part of the theatrical release, not only would you have that scene in the very beginning of the movie, but they also reference it also later on in The Incredible Hulk with the Super Soldier Syndrome with Ross and Blonsky talking about it.
Yeah.
And then, yes, in Iron Man 1, you see the shield on the table when he gets caught by Pepper Potts. And then in Iron Man 2, you also see him using it as a table tray or whatever it was. And,
Now, that wasn't Cap's shield. That was just like a remake or whatever, like a model, right? Or was that supposed to be Cap's shield?
I think so, because wasn't that the technology that Stark was using?
Yeah, like making another one, basically. Like they were gonna, I don't know, like one had been being made, like one was in the process of being made, and it never was finished.
So, like, you think maybe they came to him and asked him to create this shield because they were creating a new super soldier, or do you think he just got bored and created, or because his father had something to do with Captain America, maybe they had one laying around?
You know,
I think so.
I don't know. It could have been something like when Stark was young. He was always, since he was like this industrious little kid, maybe it was like a school project that he never finished or something.
That he just keeps around the lab.
Yeah. So who knows?
But again, it's the little touches like that, like I said, just it makes you want the Avengers movie even more. And it kind of made you want the other movies. I mean, like, you keep seeing the shield and you're like, come on, show Captain America already.
Yeah, exactly. Do y'all feel like they didn't do that with Thor enough? That, like, if they didn't hype us up for Thor really at all with any of these movies, except for maybe that one time in Incredible Hulk,
I
remember that.
Yeah,
the fit of rage and the hammer supposedly falls out of the sky.
Yeah, because everybody thinks it's the Rock, and if you look at the direction how the camera pans out, he throws the Rock. Let's say, well, because I think when he throws the Rock, he's almost in front of the camera. And as it pans out, it does like not even a 180, but like a 90-degree pan out to his side, his right side. So if he threw it towards the camera from the front, it would have went straight. So as the camera panned out to the 90 degrees, either you would not see it or it would be faintly very, 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 like all the way to your right, but when you see supposedly the rock fall, it's right in front of you, which there's no way unless there was a tornado right in front of him, which threw the rock all the way over there. Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those assumptions that, you know, it was Thor, you know, doing his doing their battle between each other, and he was just taunting him. But yeah, you could reference that, because at the end of Iron Man 2, and if Iron Man 2 and the Hulk were happening at the same time, Iron Man 2 were happening at the same time the Incredible Hulk was, at the end of Iron Man 2, there was a cameo with Mjolnir, hammer falling to Earth, and that could have been the hammer and Incredible Hulk, you know, referencing that. I don't know, we might find that out in the Avengers.
Yeah, maybe so. I wonder if they should have put Agent Coulson in the Incredible Hulk at some point, you know, to help kind of link S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Because S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't even really referenced in the Incredible Hulk at all.
Yeah, other than the talks about it, like at the very beginning, yeah, you see the...
Well, yeah, those blueprints.
And then you see S.H.I.E.L.D. whenever Banner gets caught with the conversation between Mr. Blue and Mr. Green, and then you see the S.H.I.E.L.D. banner. Yeah, I agree.
Oh, that there was there, yeah.
Yeah, there wasn't really that much reference other than the...
It needed more, I think.
Or much presence of S.H.I.E.L.D. other than the references of S.H.I.E.L.D. But yeah, that would have been nice if they would have had at least Coulson in there, because Coulson was at least in Thor.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe if they would have, if they had done that, then it would have ended up something like where you had the military in a conflict with S.H.I.E.L.D. wanting to help or control the Hulk or something.
Yeah.
So maybe it was best that they left that.
Yeah, but do you think S.H.I.E.L.D. had any interest in the Hulk? I mean, it was, the Hulk was being chased by Ross. Ross had this obsession. He wanted to catch
him. Yeah, that was Ross's bad boy anyway, so.
So, I mean, maybe S.H.I.E.L.D. didn't have any interest in the Hulk because they just thought he was just a mindless monster.
I'm sure they did. It was probably more like one of those things where Ross was like, look, Fury, you better stay out of my business.
Or S.H.I.E.L.D. was like, you know what, Ross, you can catch him, but guess what? Hollywood's just going to replace him with another actor.
Yeah, well, actually, it could have been something like that where S.H.I.E.L.D. thought, you know, you're never going to catch him anyway. Or even if you do, we'll just sweep in and get him. Because that's how sneaky they are. So. But, so finishing up with Iron Man 2, the Thor reference with the hammer at the end.
Yes.
Cool scene. Really excited, which tied right into the new Thor movie coming out. Which came out, what, a year after Iron Man?
Yeah. Iron Man 2.
Yeah, a year after Iron Man 2.
So the Thor movie, directed by Kenneth Branagh.
Branagh.
I thought there was a G in it.
There is. Branagh.
That's how you say it?
Branagh.
No, some letters are silent.
It's Branagh.
Branagh. The direction of that film being all kind of Shakespearean, what were y'all thoughts on that?
You know, looking back, I think it actually is kind of fitting because Thor needed something to kind of get him interested in the mortal world. And so what better than Padme Amidala?
Yes.
So, I mean, it was always known that he had what's her name in the comics?
Jane Foster.
What's her name?
Jane Foster.
Yeah, Jane Foster. Yeah, he always had an interest in her anyway. And I don't know if it could have really gone any other route than that. And it really made sense for him to be there.
Once again, as far as the success of Thor, it all falls down on casting. I'm not going to say so much as Chris Hemsworth, because he really was fairly new to the acting buzz. I think he's only got a few films under his belt, other than the big small role in Star Trek as Kirk's father.
Yeah.
But as far as Anthony Hopkins, I always thought that he should have been in some kind of superhero adaptation type movie.
Do you think this was the one for him?
I think this was fitting for. I'm not going to say Odin was necessarily written for Anthony Hopkins, but I'm going to say it is fitting that just because of the director, and I knew Kenneth Branagh is a he studied Shakespeare. A lot of his film credits are Shakespeare's plays, and as soon as he was attached as director, I knew that the casting was going to be top notch. And Anthony Hopkins as Odin, that was that was very, very well picked.
I didn't like his eye patch.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, again, you know, being nitpicky. Yeah. Well, I didn't like his overly obsessed Kris Kringle beard, but, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. That was maybe a little bit more fitting for Odin. But, Oh, he's not supposed to have an eye patch. He's supposed to be the god of the gods, you know, kind of like a Zeus. Yeah. So, yeah, I didn't really think the eye patch was very fitting.
But Chris Hemsworth, there was rumors with him when he was that he was cast as Thor. And once again, I think he was almost the last person to be. It's almost like they're doing it on with the exception of the Incredible Hulk. Because I know that was the first person they announced that he was the Incredible, or that the he was cast as Incredible Hulk, and then all the other supporting characters. But I think, Thor, once again, like the Iron Man movie, he was the last person to be announced for the role.
Yeah.
Because, there's a name that comes to mind, I can't think of it right now, was going to be cast as Thor. But, this Chris Hemsworth, I mean... Yeah, this dude was like, I think they said that he was like on a 4,000 calorie diet a day. Lots of chicken. I mean, the dude beefed up for this film.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he looked pretty good.
Now, what about the character of Loki, played by Tom Hiddleston?
Mm-hmm. Well, you guys knew that they were going to do, you know, the Thor-Loki battle kind of thing.
Well, I don't think any other Thor story would make sense without Loki.
Well, again, yeah. Just
I was going to say, that's kind of what we think of when we think of Thor. Yeah. I mean, what else? He's just he's not really as popular as Iron Man or Captain America. And so a lot of his other exploits aren't really as well known.
Well, I mean, it's just like, you know, Salt and Pepper, Night and Day, you know, Thor and Loki, Ross and Hulk, Captain and Red Skull, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's almost, I'm glad that they did that instead of just sparring off into this other thing without actually touching base, you know, touching first base, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they could have just done Thor and the Ice Giants. You know, and left Loki out of it. But then, where would it wouldn't have been as exciting.
It would have been exciting if he went to Midgard.
It wouldn't have. I don't know. It gave this other sense of that. You know, because that's what Loki does. He manipulates. So, yeah, it just made sense. So,
do you think the actor that played him? Do you think he did a good job? Do you like the way he portrayed Loki?
Yeah, you need somebody that can really give him this sinister kind of just, you know, not necessarily like they're just like evil, but I questioned. I was like, man, how could you not see this, Thor? Y'all are growing up together and with this douchebag, and how could you not see, how could you not see this coming? He's like so obviously evil. But I don't know. I don't really know how to put it,
dude. Because he's, you know, with the hammer all the time, and you know, he's making love to the hammer too much that he
can't even see what's going on.
Yeah, exactly.
Now this.
Yeah, who else gives their hammer a name? Seriously. Oh, Mjolnir. Mjolnir.
Wait, Paul. What are you talking about? I have a hammer called Mike.
Well then.
Mike drives those nails, bro.
Or a killer tire named Robert.
The best, also. But we digress.
The 10th Avenger. Robert.
So Loki is the villain in the Avengers movie.
Yeah.
This is a throwback to the original Avengers comic. The very first Avengers issue that came out, it was Loki that was the main villain, correct?
Yeah.
So do you think this was a good starting arm point for the Avengers, or do you think they should have went with probably like a Red Skull or one of Iron Man's villains?
That's, well, you know, they would have either gone with Red Skull, which was, you know, Captain America, or they would have gone with Mandarin, which would be Iron Man. So who knows what a second Avenger movie.
Well, what about Captain America?
What about Captain America?
I personally really liked the Human Torch. I mean, Captain America. I thought it was a really good movie.
My problem with Captain America, I loved the movie. I loved how they set it in World War II and everything. I just wish they would not have ended the movie with them finding him at the end of the film. I wish they would have had the Avengers in the very beginning of the movie finding him.
Yeah, that would have actually been more fitting.
Well, it seems like whenever they do like an Avenger. Did you watch the Avengers, the Ultimate Avengers animated movies?
Yes, I did. Okay. Yeah, it's almost like the same thing.
Yeah, and you know they did. That's what they did in that was, you know, it starts off basically with, you know, kind of telling Captain America's story. So, I mean, they had an opportunity to go ahead and tell it. Would that, if they would have put it in front of the Avengers movie, would that have made it a longer movie? Maybe not. They might have cut some stuff out that we're going to see instead.
Mm-hmm.
So, personally, I was fine with it.
Now they threw in characters like Howard Stark, and what's her face? I can't think of the chick's name.
Peggy.
Thank you. Yeah. Howard Stark. I mean, why do you think they threw his character in there? Do you think that was just to tie Iron Man and Captain America together?
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
I mean, they fleshed it out really well. But yeah, that was the idea.
Just to kind of show that there was history between the two, I guess, families or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that way, when you see the Avengers, it's likely that we'll see some kind of like maybe Tony Stark looking up to Steve Rogers, maybe a little bit, since he knew his dad really, you know, somewhat. So, I actually am interested to see the dynamic between Tony Stark and Steve Rogers in this movie. I've already seen. Did y'all see? I know Paul saw the clip. Did you see that clip, Daniel, with Iron Man versus Thor?
I have been trying not to watch any of those spoilers.
Yeah, I haven't been keeping up with them either.
It's been very hard.
Well, it's awesome. You missed out. There's nothing spoilers. We already know what's going to happen. But there's like a, you know, there won't be this animosity between Tony Stark and Steve Rogers like there's going to be with Tony Stark and Thor.
Okay. Is it kind of like the cartoon where there's technology versus magic?
I don't know if it'll be that obvious. I don't think they'll go out and say magic. But yeah, I think so.
Okay. Now, in Captain America, they introduced the character Bucky Barnes. He met his fate really quickly in the film. We never seen his body. Do you think they're going to introduce the Winter Soldier in the next Captain America film?
I hope so. That would be smart. Although, that kind of deserves its own movie, I think. Unless where they do it, like, where, I don't know, maybe right at the end, he decides to turn good and then helps Captain America defeat the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
So
do you think that's the reason why they didn't show him dying, was to just kind of leave that there, so if they wanted to use that storyline, they can?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. And what about the actor that played Captain America? We all know that he played the Human Torch in that awesome Fantastic Four movie that came out.
Now, I didn't I liked the Fantastic Four movies.
So did I.
I didn't like some of the things that they did. I liked the casting. I liked the action. I liked the story. Making Galactus a cloud and silhouette, super, super stupid. But
yeah, I didn't like the second movie.
I liked it except for that, too. I liked how they did the Silver Surfer. I liked how you saw Doom in actual costume.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked the second movie. I thought it was really well done, except for the, you know, the obvious disappointment of Galactus was a stupid cloud.
It kind of reminds me of Watchmen and how they changed the end, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Must have been the same guys.
It must have been. But as far as casting goes, I think Chris Evans did a pretty good job. I actually would have preferred if Jensen Ackles, because I want to say that's true. For those of you that don't know or didn't hear the last podcast, Jensen Ackles was actually one of the front runners to be Captain America. And I think his ultimate position was that he was going to, or he declined because he was just going to stick with something that he had going good on the CW, which is he stars on a show called Supernatural. And I would have preferred to see him in that role. He just looks more of a military type soldier. I want to say.
What's his name that they? You just said his name. I always have a hard time.
Jensen Ackles.
No. Chris Evans.
Chris Evans.
You know, he played the Human Torch, which is kind of a smart ass role anyway, so well. That I had a hard time picturing him as serious Captain America. It was just like Ryan Reynolds and Green Lantern.
Exact same thing.
Why are they casting these people? So, I mean, maybe it all has to do with the actors not wanting to be typecast.
It could be. But again, I really wish Jensen Ackles would have done it. Now, as far as the villain, a guy is, you know, going to typecast. I mean, he was, you know, he's been a villain in some Matrix trilogies. And yeah, here you got him.
How many Matrix trilogies?
Oh, did I say trilogies?
You did.
Oh, I meant to say it. But,
are you talking about Hugo Weaving?
I don't go weaving at all, but I'm talking about Hugo Weaving.
Indeed, man. I love him. He is one of my. He's right up there. Hugo Weaving is tops in my book. Is as stupid as that sounds. I haven't seen anything that I do not like him in.
Yeah, he's a very good versatile actor, and yeah, yeah. He's a pretty good bad guy. He was a voice of Megatron, even though he was. Yeah.
You know, he said, you know what, guys?
That was not his fault, though.
He's like, look, I was just in a soundstage.
I didn't see. I was in a room with a microphone.
I was tied up against my will.
They said, say these lines or you can't get out. So.
Michael Bay threatened to have me watch Bad Boys 2 over and over and over and read his lines.
He said if I didn't do it, they were going to change Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Oh, God. He's going to be pissed because he obviously went back on his word.
Like all villains do.
He should have seen that one coming.
Now, at the beginning of Captain America, they had some references in there to the movie Thor. Did y'all catch that?
The very beginning?
Yeah, with the Tree of Life and...
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't even pay attention to that.
Yeah, that's right, they did. I forgot about that.
Yeah, what did you guys think? What did you guys think about Chris Evans and that big ass head of his as the young Steve Rogers? I mean, he just looked like those bobbleheads that you get for your car. I mean, that was
It was a valiant effort. It's obvious what they were trying to do. They were obviously experimenting also with it. Maybe they shouldn't have done that, but I mean, look at Christian Bale. What was the movie that he got super, super, super skinny for?
The Machinist.
Yes. Now, obviously, with how long it takes to produce a movie, it probably wouldn't have been a very, very good idea for Chris Evans to go from that to buff, or even from buff to that, as far as for him. But something more like that would have been more acceptable.
I agree. I think they could have went the Tobey Maguire route. If you guys remember in Spider-Man 1, they had one shot where he took his clothes off, and you see him, and he's like really, really pale and skinny. But it was just that one shot. I mean, the rest of the shots they preluded to the, you know, to the spider bite. You know, he was just in the glasses, and he was kind of hunched over and everything. You know, they just portrayed him, you know, like a geek. But then after that, obviously, you knew that he got worked up for the role. You know, then it was normal. But yeah, they could have done something like that too. They could have just kept him in long sleeves and. Yeah, the same effect. But yeah, the whole time with him in that bobblehead of his, yeah, that was so retarded.
Well, thankfully it didn't last too long.
Slade.
Just sitting here thinking about bobbleheads.
Dude, he does, man. When he's in line trying to sign up like 18 times, he's like, Hey, can I sign up? Or, you know, has Nick Cage already taken the role already, or what?
Yeah, seriously. You know, like, in that one scene, the doctor stops him and is like, you signed up in all these different places, and you would have think he would have got arrested eventually. Falsifying information to try to get into the military.
Right.
And wasn't our military hurting back then for people, so wouldn't they have taken him?
Dude, that's the Army, man.
I mean, he would have went in. That storyline didn't make any sense.
Yeah, your head's too big. We don't have anything that fits a size 20 in circumference.
Did y'all think that he spent a little bit too much time in the movie as a basically like a go-go dancer?
Yeah, that was a little overdone.
Yeah, I thought so.
Now, what did you guys think about his costume in that movie?
I liked the World War II costume.
I think the revised World War II costume, or the one that he, you know, wears at the end, is far superior to the one he's wearing in the Avengers movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my problem with the one in the Avengers movie, I think it's just the helmet.
The head?
It is, yeah.
And no, it's just blue. It's back to bobblehead.
Oh, dude, no. He's just going to start dancing for everybody now.
God, you probably will, too.
Yeah, I don't know what they did to the mask, but it doesn't look right.
It doesn't. I don't know what they're doing, but it just looks too big, and everything else looks too small.
he actually lost his muscles for this film.
You know, it kind of looks like it.
Yeah, I just don't like that costume at all. Again, you got a good thing with that movie, and then here you go with the Avengers movie, and then you got to change everything. I understand maybe changing one or two things, but the entire costume, I mean, it's God.
Well, I mean, they're just going by what happened in, like, in the Ultimates. I mean, he went from that World War II costume, and then when he came to the modern times, they had a more modern, updated costume for him.
Yeah, but still.
And everything with the costume for me is okay, except for the neck up.
Well, speaking of changing, what about... How many suits of armor do you think Iron Man will go through in this movie?
I want to see the Hulkbuster at least.
Well, I mean, like, that we'll see him using. How many suits of armor do you think he'll go through?
Well, right.
Because I feel like I've seen two. One with the triangle.
Which is one he used in Iron Man 2, right?
Right. And then a circle. So, to me, at least two. And so I'm wondering why.
He gets his ass beat by Thor, and he needs to change costumes.
See, if you had seen that clip I was talking about, which I'm not gonna ruin it, but I don't know if he does gets his I don't know if he gets his butt kicked by Thor, which makes me question if how powerful is Thor going to be portrayed, you know.
Well, speaking of the Avengers, we've seen that Loki's the villain, and there's an alien race that's with him.
Is it the Skrulls?
I don't think it's the Skrulls.
No, it's a random what much lesser known race. They're kind of reptilian.
Yeah, I was reading that they were
Cybertronians. Okay.
Yeah, Cybertronians.
Cybertronians.
The battle beasts.
Yeah, isn't that Astrotrain in that one scene that's chasing Stark?
No, that's Shockwave from Transformers 3.
Oh, okay. All right.
So stupid. Gosh, that movie was so retarded, Transformers 3. Everybody listening to this right now, try not to watch Transformers 3 unless you're a Super Transformers fan, in which case it's stupid for me to say that. You've already seen it, and you already know what I'm talking about.
Dude, you're failing in your mission.
I am.
But the alien race that we're referring to is, from what I understand, people are saying that they are Asgardian.
Really?
Yeah, they're not. There's a race of aliens or whatever that these creatures resemble in the comic books. I'm trying to find the name of them.
I was actually looking at it. That particular race is on Wikipedia.
Uh-huh.
And they're actually, I think it said they were related to the Kree or the Skrulls, one of the two. But they're a lesser known alien race. But they're not as, at least in the comics, they're not as Asgardian.
I don't know. But what do you guys think? Like, do you think Hawkeye and Widow are going to have bigger roles in this film? Because Widow had, obviously, she was introduced in Iron Man 2, and Hawkeye was introduced in Thor, even though Hawkeye's role was a little bit less time, well, it was a lot less time than Widow's.
Well,
do you guys think they're going to have...
Widow, yes. What? Hawkeye, no.
You think they just threw him in there,
Well, I think he's going to have a little bit bigger role. You know, we're going to see a little bit more of him than what we've seen in Thor. But I don't think we're going to see that much more of them because they're going to concentrate on the other characters. And the only reason why I say Widow's going to have a little bit bigger of a screen time is because she's the only female on the team. So they got to give her a little bit of playing time.
Yeah, who cares? What you just said makes me want to take a crap, dude.
Well, it makes me think that Hawkeye will get just a little bit more screen time than he did in Thor. Which, if you look at IMDb, his role shows uncredited. How suck is that?
Dude, I'm telling you, man.
Can you imagine telling your parents about that? If you're Jeremy Renner, he's like, yeah, I was in Thor, and his mom's like, no, you weren't. It's not even credited.
That wasn't a real film.
It's a Hawkeye.
You play an eyeball? I don't know. We'll see.
So overall expectations for the Avengers, what do you guys say?
I think here's a better question, because we already know that we'll probably be pleased with the film. Here's a better question. What are your expectations for a teaser at the end of the credits?
Oh, well, definite. I mean, just with every movie leading up to this one, why would they not include one?
What's it going to tease, though? Is it going to tease the next Iron Man film? Is it going to tease the next Captain America film?
Well, let's see, because next year is
the next Spider-Man
film? Iron Man. We're going to get into that in just a second, but because considering what Iron Man 3 comes out next May, it could be that. What Thor is also coming out next year, but I think in November. Hey, you know what? Going back to that, isn't it kind of funny? This is the only thing that kind of worries me about this film, although that, you know, there are the reviews that everybody said that, you know, it's a pretty good film. The only thing that worries me is that here you got all these four films, and they've all been very good, very well done. But if you guys go in relation to all those four films, every one of those films have been in development hell for years. Iron Man, exactly. You know, going through directors and actors and writers. Same thing with Thor. Same thing with Captain America. And really not the Hulk, but the same thing. You know, they had development hell for the first, even though it's not related. The Ang Lee Hulk, it was a disaster. And then they were scared to put another Hulk on film, and then it did. But yeah, isn't it kind of funny that you have all four of these heroes in development hell, and they're really well done, and then now you got this one, which kind of went smoothly. with the exception of the recasting of the banner role, you know, it kind of just makes me, think, and I want to go in there with low expectations and like, well, this kind of went really smooth. You know, it probably won't be that well, done. But, I don't know. I was just a thought.
I hate to tell you, Paul, the reviews are freaking saying that this movie's really good.
Well, reviews always say something that we think the opposite of.
This is true. And speaking of reviews, how cheap is it of Marvel to throw the Dark Knight Rises third trailer on it just so they can get some extra revenue?
You must have read what I posted.
Dude, okay. When they announced that, I was like, that's well played on Marvel's end, just to, because all that's going to matter is the opening numbers, the opening day, the opening weekend.
I'm not going to complain about that at all, because I will be grateful to see any kind of new footage that I can from The Dark Knight Rises.
Well, right. But I'm just saying that's so cheap of Marvel, because basically all it's saying is that, if they were thinking the same thing I was thinking, like, a lot of people, maybe they've been getting the buzz about, Captain America's helmet, the way, Thor looks like, Hulk looks like an ogre. Dude, it looks like Shrek, seriously. But, they're getting all these things and they're like, well, maybe we might not get as much as the revenue that we hoped for. Hey, let's go pay off Warner Brothers, Alan Horn. Hey, can we get The Dark Knight? Because we knew you guys were probably going to throw it on The Hunger Games, but can we get it, just so we can, it's superhero movie, superhero hour. Who's going to throw it on The Hunger Games? Let's throw The Dark Knight on this, but I don't know. It's so cheap, but it's well played.
Yeah.
But all it's going to say is that, Dark Knight Rises. It's going to beat The Avengers.
I don't think so.
I think so. The alien race is called the Chitauri.
Thank you.
The Ataris?
Yes.
Yes.
The 2600s.
Yes.
The Ataris from Planet Nintendian, or what is it?
The Planet Ninja Turtle.
Yeah.
Yes. So stupid. That's where ninjas came from, oddly enough. The Chitauri. Spelled Chitauri.
Chitauri?
Yeah. Yeah, it says they're a counterpart to the Skrulls.
Hey, what do you guys think about Schwarzenegger making a cameo in the Avengers?
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, he's going to be the Hulk's nemesis.
Oh, God.
Governator?
Indeed.
The Governator.
Now there's a small still of Schwarzenegger riding that Astro train.
Oh God!
It's Shockwave, man. Stop calling him Astro train.
Yeah, I mean overall, I think the Avengers is going to be good. I don't know. I still cannot stand that look of the Hulk. And like you said, Jeremy, he's probably going to be done. And he's going to be okay. I'm just nitpicking or whatever. But, dude, if he says anything, retarded, I'm going to burn a hole in the screen that I'm watching it in.
Now, what do you mean by anything retarded?
Well, if he says something that he needs a razor because his body hair is itching or something,
You mean, or if somebody else says he needs a razor?
Exactly. If he, I don't know. But I think it's good. What the hell was that?
It was Shrek.
Well, there you go. I better get my flame thrower ready. But anyway, what are your thoughts? Avengers? Yay, nay?
May 4th, I'm excited.
Do you think we'll see anything about the Red Skull?
Maybe.
With the way his storyline ended in Captain America, I think they would have to kind of hint towards it.
Oh, here's another thing. What about killing villains in superhero movies? How do y'all feel about that?
I don't like it.
I don't either.
Yeah, I also agree.
End of discussion. Next topic.
Unless unless they are produced by Michael Bay, then sure, they can kill off every freaking villain on there.
Hell no, man. Megatron did not need to be killed by Optimus Prime. What the heck?
He especially needed to be killed.
Maybe that'll release Hugo Weaving from
Michael Bay, from Michael Bay's clasp, his tractor beam. Dude, what nobody knows is that what's his name? Hugo Weaving has been held captive for the last 8 years.
That's why we haven't seen him.
Yeah, well, they briefly allowed him to be in the Avenger movie. And then once they put the Red Skull on some other actor's face, then Michael Bay took him back into captivity.
Yes, exactly. Now, I just wonder what will end up happening to the Cosmic Cube, you know, when it's all said and done. And if, you know, if maybe the Red Skull gets out.
Maybe that.
And that's another thing. Do you guys think we'll see cameos from all the other films? I mean, obviously they said Pepper Potts is going to be in it, but do you think Stark's bodyguard might be in it? Do you think Betty John Ross Favreau? Do you think Betty Ross might be in it? Do you think Ross might be in it? Do you think Red Skull might be in it? Do you think Odin might be in it?
Well, I'm wondering if this isn't really a cameo per se, but I'm wondering if Stark's mansion will even, like, because I think that'll be kind of like a tell if it's going to be an Iron Man Avengers movie, if we see him going to his house, or is it just going to be him hanging out at Stark Tower?
And see, you know, going, yeah, you know, and see, that's that. I was just going to lead into that. You know, going with how the first movie, you see a, you know, even though it's not a cameo to the actual character, but it's a cameo in reference to the character, like. Iron Man 1, you see the shield. You see Captain America's shield. In Iron Man 2, you get Black Widow. And Thor, you get Hawkeye. And Incredible Hulk, it was supposed to be Captain America, I guess, again. But basically where I'm getting at, what if they kind of sort of cameo another hero?
Like Hank Pym?
Something, yeah. What if we see that?
I'd like to see that. They need to cameo Hank Pym.
I mean everything's going to be answered here in a couple hours. Or a couple days.
Like, what?
Since y'all have both watched the Avengers animated series, do you think they're going to do a Black Panther movie?
You know, if it's done like the animated series, I would like to see it, I think. I think they did Black Panther really well in that cartoon series.
I think so too.
I wasn't too impressed with his character in the Ultimate movies, but
did he feel like Batman?
Oh, in this newest rendition of the Avengers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To me, he was like the Batman character, kind of, because he was really smart in that series, and it was like he already knew what was going on, which is what Batman would do.
Yeah.
So I kind of liked that. I kind of felt like they played on that a little bit.
I like the internal bickering between him and, like, Tony Stark about whose technology is better. And
I did like that.
I mean, it's a really good show. And my question to you is, how many seasons of that is there? Are we in the second season now, or are we in the third season?
Yeah, we're in the second season now. The first episode, you get to see the... I don't remember actually if it was the first episode or not, but the first episode you get to see Doom.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I hope they kind of and see. You know, it goes back to what I said about that whole. If Bryan Singer was still attached to do the Superman movies, how he said that they were going to reference maybe one or two other heroes to help spawn off or help kickstart off their own set of movies. And if you look at Marvel's been sort of doing that, so it would kind of be cool to see, yeah, if it's Hank Pym, if it's Wasp, if it's Black Panther, obviously Spider-Man's not going to be in it, just somebody else, you know, just throw them in this Avengers movie.
Maybe they'll show the Dark Knight.
Well, they are going to show that at the very beginning of the movie, and that's all it's going to replay until everybody's brainwashed that the Dark Knight's going to be better than the Avengers.
Oh, no, dude. The Dark Knight is one of the new Avengers.
Oh, I see.
Yes. It's part of the Amalgam Universe. Are either of you familiar with the Amalgam Universe?
Yes, sir.
I'm, I am familiar with Infinite Crisis.
Way to throw something random out there, Paul.
What he's referring to, Paul, is the Marvel versus DC crossover where they merged some characters together and they made their own comic books. Like, there was... Dark Claw. Dark Claw was Batman and Wolverine, and then they had Captain America and... What did they freaking team up with Captain America?
You know, I don't remember anybody else because the only issue from that whole series I bought was Dark Claw. It was Dark Claw.
Dark Claw. That. Dude, that sounds like a damn villain from Inspector Gadget. What was his name?
Or Darkwing Duck.
Dark Duck. Yeah, those Marvel versus DC series was...
Dude, I remember that stupid show.
That show was not stupid.
Oh man, it was definitely dumb.
That show was epic on so many proportions.
What Daniel is trying to say, Paul? It was proportionally epic. Hopefully, though, it was not proportionally epic to Howard the Duck.
Now that.
Yeah, oh man!
Are digging into my George Lucas.
I know, right? Daniel, did you touch on some? Let's touch on some comic stuff. Did you read the Marvel Zombies series at all?
I read the first story arc. I didn't read like anything after that.
Okay.
I never jumped into the zombie craze.
I'm not either, but I think it would be smart for them to do something like that.
You know, it's funny, I was talking to somebody about that the other day, about if Marvel would ever come out with a Marvel zombie type movie or TV series or something like that, or heck, even an animated movie.
Continue.
No, I don't think they'll do it. I mean, it would be cool. I thought it was a neat series, but... Paul, you didn't read that, right?
About what?
The Marvel Zombies?
No.
Dude, they eat Galactus.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I remember you were telling me about that.
Yeah. Love that. And who was it?
Kind of laying down there and they're all like gnawing on him.
Who was it? Like Hank Pym, like, had Black Panther tied up in a basement somewhere, like slowly cutting limbs off of him so he could like feed off of him. So you had Black Panther running around after he escaped with one leg.
I want to see what T'Challa chased like. Like Shakaka.
Oh, so yeah, back to the Avengers movie. I wonder if we'll get a reference to, you know, like T'Challa or...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think just...
Or...
Yeah, just with the route that they've been going, I think it's safe to assume that they might reference another Marvel or Marvel. They might reference another Avenger in here in some form of fashion.
Well, then I wonder how many. Or I wonder if they'll go into overload with doing this or if they'll play it cool and just do a couple.
Or, you know, be stupid and not do any.
That would be stupid.
The Human Torch?
Well, you know, they already have the actor there, so, I mean, it'd be easy to do.
You just put him on fire.
But anyway.
Now, do you think we're going to see the Avengers Mansion and Quinjets and all that other stuff?
Well, we're going to see Quinjets for sure. We're gonna see the helicarrier. Did y'all see the screenshots for the helicarrier?
Yes.
No, I have not.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Oh man, that reminds me of that Nick Fury TV movie that they made.
Yeah, dude. The Hoff.
Was that a series or a movie?
No, it was just a TV movie.
Yeah, I thought so.
Hoff.
I wanted them to do more with that, but I also did not because I didn't want it to be stupid.
It was the Hoff, man.
I don't think he would have done any more than that.
Nah, probably not. So,
but yeah, May 4th, people. So,
yep, get a new Spider-Man trailer attached in front of that, along with the third Dark Knight Rises trailer. Actually, they're both third trailers for both movies.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the Avengers movie, obviously. Yeah, and I've also been hearing reports at the end that there's the first, like, you know, they'll do the initial credits, and then a like extra thing, and then there's another like second like clip at the end.
So what you're saying is stay all the way through the entire credits.
Correct.
Stay until they kick you out?
Yes. Until the cleaning crew comes.
All right.
Hell, in some theaters I've been into, the cleaning crew come in right when the credits start rolling.
Oh, I hate that.
It's like, leave me alone.
Dude, for real, leave the lights off. I don't care if these people can't see when they're getting out. They don't need to be leaving anyway.
Exactly, yeah.
Sit down. Like, dude,
do not stand up in front of me. I'm trying to watch.
Okay, completely off topic, but y'all need to check out the theater in Belton.
There's a theater in Belton?
Yes, sir.
What? Is it anywhere near the new HEB?
Yes, sir.
All right. I may have to check that out.
Yes, this is stadium seating. Really nice. Really awesome. Let's put it this way, Paul. I bought tickets tonight to go see the Avengers for Saturday morning, and I purchased reserved seats, which means I already have two seats there. I don't have to wait in line.
That is badass.
I
don't even know why theaters don't even do that to begin with.
Well, that's because Southwest Airlines owns all the movie theaters.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah.
So I'm quite excited about that. I mean, I don't have to worry about getting there and waiting in line to get the good seats. I got two seats already, and I know which seats I'm sitting in, so that's pretty cool. That's how I'm going to start seeing all my movies.
Which,
dude, you're so hardcore, man.
Which, bringing up airlines, would you pay for first-class theater seating?
Yeah.
What about you, Paul?
I think I would. Like, are we talking like if they had like a two-level type seating?
Sure. Let's go 747 on this thing.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny that you say that because this new theater.
Yeah.
It's, you know how the theater always has three sections. You got the middle section, which are usually like the best seats. That's like the perfect place to sit, especially in the center. Then you got the top section, and then you got the bottom section, which is like the section no one wants to sit at.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. But hang on, Paul.
There's people out there
who's listening to this who may not know what we're talking about.
I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the ones that are way up in the front that you feel like you're already in the damn movie.
Okay, so at this new theater, the center section is reserved. The first three rows, like the best seats in the house, those are reserved seatings, and you have to pay $2 additional for the tickets.
But so did you have to pay $2?
Yes. I paid $2 additional for my tickets, but
F that.
But you get massive leg room.
Hey, you know what, Paul? Think about this for a second.
All about the leg room?
No. Think about this, dude. The movie is at 9 a.m. Hypothetically speaking, the movie's at 9 a.m. You show up at 8:50 a.m. You get your drink. Everybody else is already in the theater. You walk in and get your reserved seat, and everybody's looking at you like you're an asshole.
Hey,
I would pay $2 for that. I would pay $2 additional for that.
That is awesome.
I would.
I don't know, man. I could use those $2 for something else.
Considering ever going to go see a movie with Paul, how late he is for everything.
Dude, Paul needs that extra $2 to be spent specifically for that. Yes.
What's funny is I'm actually pretty prompt on everything.
It's that everybody else is too early.
Yeah, that's what it is.
No. Anyway.
Nah, as far as I can tell, Paul always goes to work on time. Except for when he sleeps up.
Well, he leaves.
Yeah.
He only leaves like 12 hours early.
This is true.
Sometimes he better.
But anyway.
We digress.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you guys. Avengers is going to freaking suck.
May 4th, people.
May 4th, prepare to have a nerdgasm.
Yes. Yes. Oh, one last thing.
You already had it?
One last thing. Okay. If you were to judge a comic book movie off of whether or not it got you to go out and purchase the comics, was whether or not it was good, have there ever been any good comic book movies?
Wait. Repeat the question.
If the way that, say, DC or Marvel judged whether or not their movies were successful. They looked at and they looked at the jump in comic book sales. I wonder if any of the comic book movies have ever been successful. How many people have they gotten to get into comic books because of
Batman? Oh, because of how the movie did?
Because of Batman and Robin or because of The Dark Knight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay, I got you now.
Yeah. I just wonder.
I think it probably helped in graphic novel sales.
Probably, definitely. It's just I was way into this animated series for the Avengers. I'm excited about the movie. I've liked all the Marvel movies. I'm not going to go out and buy Avengers comics, though.
I've been looking at that X-Men versus the Avengers. I might actually read that. That looks kind of interesting.
I did read issue 1 and 2. And I'm a big X-Men fan anyway. But I don't know. I think for a lot of people that they jump onto that part, if they're just jumping in, they're going to be really lost.
Do you have to have all the new Avengers and all that stuff, the background for all that? Or?
Well, I mean, you don't have to, but you're going to wonder why Wolverine is where he's at. You're going to wonder why certain people are... You're going to wonder why Magneto is right there with Cyclops.
Huh.
You're going to wonder, where's Professor X? Where's Jean Grey? I mean...
Now, after Civil War, they divided the teams up, but now they're back together, right? I mean, Thor, Captain America, and Iron Man are all...
Yeah. Now, yeah, the Avengers are pretty much back together.
And the Captain America that's running around now is Bucky Barnes still, right? Because Steve Rogers is a different character now, or am I wrong?
I don't... Honestly, and that's... You know what? That's something that I don't know about. I know Captain America was assassinated.
Yeah, I know Steve Rogers is back.
Yeah. As far as I know, it's Steve Rogers.
And I think he goes by the name Super Soldier, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, no, as far as I know, it's Captain America, Steve Rogers, in this X-Men versus Avengers.
Huh.
What if the Avengers movie is so successful that Sony finally loosens the chain around Spider-Man and Marvel gets their rights back, their film rights back for him, and that was ultimately their ultimate goal?
The only reason why that'll happen is because, actually, it's actually not a bad little thing there. Sony is going to be really, really hurting for money because they've got a new console that's going to be coming out in a year or two. So, yeah, they're probably going to be looking at ways to create some instant cash. And so with Marvel doing really good with their movies, yeah, they're going to have some cash lying around.
So you think Marvel Studios might be producing another Spider-Man movie or be producing a Spider-Man movie here in the future?
Well, yeah, have total because they still have the rights, cuz you know it's Marvel property. But as far as like film rights, you know, that's the distribution process is Sony.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it would be funny if that was their ultimate goal. It was like, hey, let's make this movie so damn badass that Sony has no choice but to relinquish Spider-Man to us.
Well, and the only reason why they would do that is because Marvel threw so much money at them.
Well, I mean, they've gotten their way so far.
I just wish Marvel would have got their crap together like DC did and kept all their properties.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at that big old lawsuit between, Schuster or...
Siegel.
Siegel and...
The Siegel family.
Yeah.
That was just to get their names back on the in the comic book because they took their names out.
They settled that, right?
Yeah, they settled.
Yeah.
They got their names back in the books. And I think they got paid a crap load of money.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the whole reason. That was one of the whole reasons why Smallville was called Smallville and not Superboy, was because of the whole legal battle between that family and DC.
Well, they couldn't have called it Smallville. They couldn't have called it Superboy without him wearing a costume.
Yeah.
It would have been more stupid. So. That was quite fitting.
Have you been reading the comics?
I still have not picked up season 11.
Yeah, I've issue 3 came out Friday. It's getting interesting. Apparently, Lex in the series doesn't realize, or he has been reading stuff and he knows, like, him and Clark had a friendship, but he doesn't remember any of it. So, like, his memory got completely wiped.
Well, that's cool.
So, like, I mean, he's completely rebooted. And they're saying that Tess committed suicide. That's how they're covering that story up.
Wow.
So, it's kind of interesting.
That is pretty interesting.
Just waiting to see what happens. But I guess that's going to do it for tonight, guys. Like I said, May 4th. Just here. It's next week. I can't wait. I'm excited.
Indeed.
I think we lost Paul, so...
He fell asleep. Paul, your character is just spinning around in circles, shooting everywhere.
Paul?
Wow, did we lose him, really?
Paul?
All right.
Well, that's going to do it for tonight, guys. Paul Jones was with us, but he's no longer here. So, thanks for joining us, and we'll be coming back at y'all next week with our thoughts on the Avenger movie.
Yes.
Looking forward to it.
Yes. Oh, yes. There he is. You know, that's funny. I was going to say, well, we've got proof that he fell asleep, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I actually had to go take care of some business.
Indeed.
Couldn't wait, Paul.
Dude, no, I've been holding that since we've been talking.
Dude, you too? I'm still holding it.
I gotta hold it nowhere, man.
All right, guys, we're out of here. I'm Daniel.
I'm Jeremy.
I'm Paul.
We'll see y'all on the other side.
Peace.